Get in the way. This seems like an odd request, right? Normally, it's, you know, get out of the way. Hey, I'm trying to film. Get out of the way. There's a car coming. Get out of the way. We usually don't hear someone saying, get in the way. But when it comes to the will of God, when it comes to service for Him, I want to ask you, get in the way. This kind of, you know, really, this is the message that God gave me this morning. It's kind of, be honest, looking at really what I preached last time again. I kind of, you know, just in preparing for this message, I feel like I just preached it. But God, if you want me to share this again from a different passage and maybe in a little bit different way, someone must need to hear it. I'm so encouraged to watch the bowling children stepping up and seeking to be an encouragement and a help to someone. What a blessing that is. And it's all the community care moments we've been able to look at. And I know that there are people doing things that, you know, they don't want to be on TV. They don't want to be on Facebook. And so they're not coming forward. They want to do it anonymously. You know, praise the Lord for the people who are stepping up and allowing God to use them. And I just want to encourage you, keep doing it. Stay in the way. And if you're not doing it, get in the way. In this passage, we find Abraham. Abraham is getting up in years, and he knows he's about to die. And there's something missing from his son's life that he does not want to allow to stay missing. It's called a wife. I tell you, when I was, you know, 26, 27 years old and still without a wife, I was kind of looking at the Lord and saying, hey, there's something missing from my life. And when Kayla came into my life, you know what? I was very thankful. And I still am very thankful. Hon, if you're watching now, hello. But there was something missing from Abraham's son's life. And that was a wife. And so Abraham looks at his servant and says, servant, I want you to get a wife for my son. Let me be honest, that's a tall task. That's a tall task. But it gets even taller when he specifies, he gives some directions. He says, I want you to get my son a wife, but it can't be from anyone around here. It can't be from the Canaanites. You got to go back to my hometown, to Ur, and get a wife from there. But not just even to my hometown, you got to find my kindred. You got to find my family, get a wife of my kindred. So the tall task put on this servant, that I bet you that he did not want to mess up. And so we're going to just take a look and see what we can learn from this servant and from the Lord this morning, from this passage. Because I think every single one of us have either now or at a time felt a calling on our life from the Lord, been given something from the Lord for us to do, and realize it's a tall task. It's hard. It's difficult. I don't know if I can do it. So we're going to look at what we can learn from this passage this morning about getting in the way. Before we begin, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that I cannot in myself do justice in preaching your word. But Lord, I know that, Lord, if you can use a donkey, if you can use your garment to heal a woman, if you can use such things as those, Lord, I know you can use me. And Lord, I pray that you will use me, empty myself of me. And Lord, I pray that you will fill me with you. I pray, Lord, that you will use me this morning to share your word, to share your love, and to share your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, you will allow me to hear what you have for us this morning. And I pray that you will give ears to hear to all of us. Lord, that we may hear your word and also apply your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing I want to look at this morning is that Abraham gave to his servant his general direction. his general direction. Look with me in verse number 1 of chapter number 24. It says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham had said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Here we see a general direction given to the servant. Listen, he didn't get all the specifics. He was given a general direction. Okay, first he said, "Give my son a wife." Then he said, "From my hometown." Then he said, "From my kindred." Okay, listen, every detail was not planned out. Every step was not known. Every trial that he might face getting there and getting back was not known. He had a general direction. Listen, Abraham did not call ahead to warn his family about what he had just told his servant to do. The servant knew he was going to talk to people, had no clue what he was talking about. Yeah, they probably knew Abraham, but they weren't expecting what he was about to ask of them. And listen, in our own lives, there's many times where God gives us a general direction. Listen, when I was 14 years old, God, through a youth rally, called me into the ministry. Can I just tell you, at that point, I did not know that I would be the assistant pastor at Harvest Baptist Temple. I did not know what was going to happen at all. I just knew that God called me to preach. And at that point, you know what? I couldn't even preach. God gave me a general direction. Listen, when God called me to Bible college, I did not know that after Bible college, at one point, I would be an assistant pastor at Harvest Baptist Temple. He'd give me a general direction. And I remember just as a freshman and talking with other, let's be honest, dumb freshmen. And we were trying to map out every single thing that we would be doing our entire life. And what the will of God was, and praying about, "God, what are you going to have me do when I'm 65? It's a true story. That's pretty much. We were planning our entire life, and we thought we could figure it out. But a lot of times, God just gives you a general direction. He tells you, "I want you to do this." And he sets you off on a general direction. And you know, it's not easy. Let's go ahead and look at the servant's flight. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture does it promise that life will be easy following God, following God's direction. You know, the straightest path between two points is what? A straight line. This is not what Abraham's servant could do. Okay? Going from where Abraham was to Ur of the Chaldees, if he went in a straight line, he would be going through what's called a desert, which would mean death. And so what Abraham's servant had to do, he had to go up and around, he had to go 500 miles. That's a long way for a wife. That's one way, by the way. I'll never forget, this is free, I'll never forget the first time I went to go meet Kayla. She lived in Chicago, Schaumburg, right outside of Chicago. I lived at Erie, Pennsylvania. And so I decided one day that I was going to go visit her because I had never met her in person. I figured I might as well. And I literally begged my boss for time off. He gave it to me. And so I went. And it was supposed to be a 7.5-hour trip. I've never seen so much construction on a toll road. And I'm not kidding. This is not an exaggeration. Every 20 miles, I looked at my odometer, every 20 miles, I had about 10 miles of construction. And a 7.5-hour trip, I crammed into 10.5 hours. That was a long trip. So I feel for the servant, okay? I feel for him. He had it a little harder than I did, but I understand a little bit. He had a long journey ahead of him. Can I tell you this, though? Abraham gave him this task. Do you know who else had traveled this road before he gave to the servant? Abraham. You see, the path that the servant was about to go on was not unfamiliar to his master. The path that the servant was about to go on was not unfamiliar to his master. And no matter what your path is not unfamiliar to God. Amen. God knows it. He knows its beginning. He knows its end. Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 9 says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else, and I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God not only knows the end from the beginning, he planned the end from the beginning. He has a plan for you. He knows what's coming. He knows what you're facing. He knows what he's asking you to do perfectly. Listen, when I was a little kid, living in a trailer park in a Catholic home, I never thought I would be where I am today. When I was 13 years old, trusting Christ, I didn't know what I just signed up for. Glad I signed up, amen. But God has a general direction. And there's a long path, but can I tell you this? It's rewarding. It is rewarding. I can go over story after story after story after story of just things that I just marvel at what God has done. I don't know why, but using me. Praise the Lord. And God can use you too. You have to be willing, like the servant, to be in the way. We not only see the servant's flight, but also the servant's fear. The servant's fear. Verse number 5 of chapter 24 says, "The servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" Basically, he says, what if this doesn't work? What if she doesn't want to come? You know, I think we've all had this fear. Is this really God's will for my life? What if I'm wrong? What if this is not really what God has for me? I just don't know. Look in verse number 6 for Abraham's response. It says, "Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again, for the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." You know what he's saying? God will do it. You be faithful, God will lead you. Listen, at the beginning of a journey, can I tell you that that still takes faith? It still takes faith at the beginning of a journey to step out, to get in the way. But if you are truly following God, you need to have faith that God will lead you where he wants you. When I was a sophomore year of college, God really got a hold of my heart that year, and I began, you know, when God got a hold of my heart, I began to pray about what he would have me to do that summer, and I prayed, God, I want to do something for you. And there was a time where I thought that was to do singing groups, to travel as a singing group. I love to sing. It would give me a lot of opportunity to preach as well, and also would give me free tuition the next year. Amen. And so it seemed like it was all working out. I signed up. I was practicing. And then, through some odd circumstances, God, listen, he shut the door. I was full steam ahead. I thought I was in the center of God's will, and then all of a sudden, God just shut the door. And that summer, you know what I ended up serving at a Christian camp. You know what happened? I wanted God's will. And there was a time where I thought God's will was this, and I began going towards that. But you know what God did? He said no, and he led me. He made it clear that it wasn't. And when you follow God, and when you're in the way, if you get a little off, but you're still following God, you know what happened? He'll correct you. He'll give you a little nudge back in the right direction. You might think, I don't know what God's will is. Listen, step out in faith. God has given you a general direction. Step out in faith. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Listen, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Be in the way. Be in the word. But that shall, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You keep your eyes on the Lord. He will lead you. Trust him to lead you. The servant was obedient to the general direction, and because the servant was obedient to the general direction, we see his granted detail. We see his granted detail. Look at verse number 10. The word of God says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of the water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, my Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born unto Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. You know, it's okay when you're in the will of God to be excited about it and go as fast as you can in the will of God. Okay, now I get back to my place. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. We see here a granted detail. Listen, he had an understandable request. He had an understandable request. Listen, the servant had just traveled 500 miles. What is he going to need? Water. His camels had just traveled 500 miles. What are they going to need? Water. Listen, I think it's also safe to say that when Abraham gave, it doesn't actually say this particularly in the Bible, but I think it's an unspoken. I think when Abraham asked his servant to get a wife for Isaac, I think the servant knew that Abraham wanted a good wife for Isaac. He didn't want just the first person he saw, okay? He didn't want the person who he saw come out, and they came out last, and they had a hole in the bucket. You know, it's just like, let's be honest, he didn't want the person you see at Walmart who didn't even bother to get out of their pajamas, okay? And they're in their pajamas, and they're looking at the Little Debbies, okay? Listen, he wanted a good wife. And so again, let's look at this understandable request. He asked him, let it be the one who would be willing to give me water. He wanted the girl to be kind. He wanted the girl to be kind. Then he said, let her also be someone that when I ask her for water for myself, that she gets the camel's water too. He wanted her to be to go above and beyond. He wanted her to be a hard worker. He wanted, the servant wanted for his master's son a good wife. This is an understandable request. He's not asking for something just beyond extraordinary. It's a reasonable request. The servant finally arrives in Abraham's hometown, and right away he asks God that the woman he had chosen for Isaac would be willing to draw for him would be there. And God would just reveal it. He's asking God, God, just reveal your will to me. I don't want to force it. I don't want to be wrong. You reveal your will for Isaac. You do it. Anytime I think about God's will, especially right now, I think back to when my wife and I were coming here. We were about to get married. It is January of 2018. I've shared this many times. I'll share it many times again. But we really began to pray about what God would have for us. Talk about it, pray about it. And I remember early January just praying that if God was going to lead us away from where I currently was, I was the youth director at Walnut Creek Baptist Church in Erie, Pennsylvania. I said, if God, if you're going to bring me away from here, will you give, because Kayla desired a position to minister and to serve in a church through teaching or daycare or whatever it was, and I desired to be an assistant pastor, youth director, whatever God had for me, and we prayed, God, we both have this desire. If you're going to lead us away from here, will you allow us to go to a church that has a position for both of us? You know, that was a reasonable request, and God granted that reasonable request. There are some times when we have something that we know that God wants for us, and so we just put out this really absurd request. It's like, God, you want me to go to Africa as a missionary, so please just give me $1 billion so I'll be fine, and that you'll take care of everything before I go, and I'll have no worries the entire time. It's an unreasonable request. God wants us to walk by faith. I think we should be in our walk and being in the way just like Moses was. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 14 says, and he said, my presence shall be, go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Moses just wanted to be in God's presence. And I hope that's your desire. To be in God's presence. And everything that you do, everything that you request is all about just being in God's presence, being in the way. But again, we see a grant, we see his understandable request. But we also see his unwavering reliance. You know what we don't see in this passage? After God reveals Rebekah to the servant, we don't see him asking God for another miracle. We don't see him asking God for another confirmation. He had an unwavering reliance on God. Verse number 21 of Genesis chapter 24 says, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels came down, had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half shekel's weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Listen, once God had granted his request, you know, she matched the master's instructions. He just made sure that she matched the master's instructions. You listen, there's gonna be times when there's opportunity that comes up that seems like a great opportunity, but does it match the master's instructions? Does it match what you know God's general will, general direction is for your life? When I was 18 years old, and I was looking really to make some more money. I knew that college was coming up, and I wanted to be able to make some more money. I was working at a restaurant making, pretty much minimum wage, and I was looking for different things, and an opportunity came up to work at Olive Garden. Now, I'll be honest, I love Olive Garden. Chicken Alfredo, every time, especially when they have unlimited pasta, okay? But I had an opportunity to go work at Olive Garden and be a busboy, and you make some pretty good money. I got paid, it would have been $2 more an hour than what I was currently being paid, plus you share tips with the servers. And so I was, this was a good thing, but at the same time, I looked at it and realized that as an 18-year-old busboy, I would have been called on to help serve alcohol. And you know what I could not do? I couldn't serve alcohol. This seemed like a great opportunity, but as I looked into it and did my due diligence, I realized it didn't match the master's instruction for my life. And I had to pass. And I kept my current job. Can I also tell you something? God blessed. I don't owe anything. I owed some college debt after I got out, and be honest, that was completely because I had no faith my sophomore year of college going into it for God to provide. Other than that, God paid every single bill that I had. Amen. But there's sometimes there'll be an opportunity. You need to make sure that it matches God's general direction. But listen, the servant did. He made sure it matched his master's general direction. It did, and you know what? He put those bracelets on that girl's hand. He didn't ask for another sign. He didn't ask. When God shows you, and God shows you clearly what God's will is, get in the way. Get in the way. It reminds me of Gideon, really. You can kind of contrast Gideon. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read this passage, but you kind of contrast Gideon and you contrast the servant here. Gideon in the book of Judges, what he needed a couple times. God, if this is your will, make the fleece wet and the ground dry when I wake up in the morning, and I'll know it's your will. He wakes up, the fleece is wet, the ground is dry. And he's like, okay, well, God, just to make sure, if this is your will, now tonight, make the fleece dry and the ground all around it wet. And God did it. And praise the Lord, Gideon still followed God's direction, but how many times do you need God to prove and to show you what his will is before you just step out in faith? We see the servant had his general direction. We see his granted detail. But we also, because he was obedient, see his glorified declaration. Look at verse number 26 of Genesis 24. It says, "Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master.'" You wonder how he was able to get to the point where he was able to just praise the Lord. He was able to give glory to God. Let me tell you, it was because of his endurance. Listen, staying in the way will always lead to glory and praise of God. It might not. You might not see fruit right away. You might not have good times right away. The glory and the praise might not come right away. But remember, the servant had to travel 500 miles. What if the servant had quit after just 100? What if he quit? There's a man named Ronald Wayne. You might not know his name because he's not famous. But we all know the company Apple. They make the iPads, the watches, the phones that you're literally viewing through. We all know Apple. Apple is a $1.3 trillion company. Wow. But again, you don't know Ronald Wayne. Ronald Wayne was a co-founder of Apple. When the company started, he owned, because he helped found it, 10% of the company. But as you know, the first couple years went on, he just didn't think that he really could, you know, do it. He didn't know really what was going to happen, so he sold his shares for $800. You know how much his shares would be worth today if he just kept his shares? $130 billion. But he gave up. He didn't think he could do it, literally. He didn't think he could do it. So he gave up and he sold his shares. Christian, let's be like Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, which says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Don't let your light shine for just a moment. Don't let it just shine every fifth Tuesday of the month. Don't let it just shine during a crisis. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let your light shine. Let it keep shining. It was because of his endurance that he was able to glorify and God. We see his glorified declaration, but also because of his emphasis. Again, it says in verse number 26, it says, "And the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.'" You look at the order where he mentions people and the frequency where he mentions people. Number one, who do you see? You see God. The servant put God first. Then you see Abraham. "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham." And it was all about how God supplied Abraham. You know how much the servant got out of this? Nothing. Probably a thank you. Good job. All right, now go get something else. And self was last. And really, when he mentions himself, you know really the context and how he mentioned himself? He just says, "I was obedient, and God did it all. I being in the way, the Lord led me." He started with God. He ended with God. And that's where we need to be. We need to start with God. We need to continue with God. We need to end with God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." We have a God who is worthy. He's worthy to serve. He's worthy to give our life as a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our talents. He's worthy. And he has a will. He has a direction. He has a purpose for your life. And whether you see it right now or not, he is giving you a general direction. And he's asking you, and listen, I'm asking you this morning, get in the way. Step out in faith. Get in the way. So like the servant, God can bless. And like the servant, you'll be able to praise the Lord. I think so many people out there, we talk about, hey, let's take some praises tonight. And it's kind of sad sometimes. Why? Because we have to wait sometimes for those praises. People just thinking and thinking and thinking. Guilty. Can I say guilty? People are like, well, who has the praise this evening? I'm just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. When we are in the way, when we are obedient, when we have an unwavering reliance on his granted details, we will be able to also give a glorious declaration. Get in the way. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much.